We all know Steelers versus Ravens week is huge in the lore of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and it's going to be an experience for a lot of rookies who have had to play this year. But big question we've had all week is leadership. Who leads the Pittsburgh Steelers? Who steps up and challenges them after their embarrassing loss to the Cincinnati Bengals? We talked to some of the Steelers this week at the practice facility. We're going to break down what was said, what the tone is around practice this week, and how they're looking heading into this Raven thing. I say we because I'm joined by Jenna Harner of Channel 11 WPXI here in Pittsburgh. We thank you for making the Locked On Steelers podcast your first listen every day. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things in the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find the show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. If you're watching this on YouTube, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. It helps us out. And if you leave us a five-star review with a positive comment on Apple Podcasts, you get a shout-out at the end of the show. Joining me, as always, on Fridays is our friend Jenna Harner from Channel 11. Jenna, how you doing today?
Oh, Chris, I am doing wonderfully. Happy Friday. Happy Friday, everybody. It is another beautiful weekend of NFL football. What's not to love?
Exactly. What's not to love about more football? We're in week 13, as crazy as that sounds. Although I'm starting to get used to it being the end of this thing, like to the back end of the season. You know, it's getting to that point where, okay, like a few weeks ago, I was like, what do you mean we're at the midpoint? Like, this is weird. But right? Here we are. Yeah, here and we are. I think we were on the same page there. We're both.
We're like, now it's here. We're doing it. Oh man, this is the best.
So let's get into the topics, of course, this week. Leading into this game, a lot of people have questioned, where's the leadership of the Steelers? Who would allow such a blowout loss? And, you know, is, you know, all these things that are questioned around. And so everyone wanted to know, like, you know, do these guys take it seriously? You know, people pointed at, like, you know, a clip of the Steelers, a couple Steelers, like, laughing on the bench, you know, during the Bengals loss. And like, oh, they don't take this seriously. Chase Claypool wants music to be played. But there's been a resounding response from the veterans on the team who've come out and said, like, yeah, this isn't acceptable. Cam Hayward, of course, talking about when he heard Chase Claypool's comments about music, he wanted to rip his speaker out because it was just so ridiculous. And then Mike Tomlin saying, oh yeah, we're gonna do padded practices this week, and they did one Wednesday. We'll see how many more they do throughout the week. But, you know, there is an increase in intensity. And Joe Schobert, we're asking him after the Wednesday practice. He said that, yeah, Mike Tomlin and Cam Hayward got pretty loud during our team meetings on Monday. And that's not, you know, that's out of the ordinary. Mike Tomlin always prescribed to the quiet strength sort of approach that Tony Dungy always did. He's like, if I have to be loud, that's a problem. But clearly this is like an alert mode for the Steelers. Jenna, what have you seen out of this team? Just like, you know, you've been at the facility, you've been to the Tomlin press conferences. What have you seen from this team and how they've responded to the way they lost and knowing they got a bunch of big games coming up?
I mean, we've heard it from kind of all the guys that we've talked with the last couple of days, from Mike Tomlin to Ben Roethlisberger to Joe Schobert, Chris Wormley, where basically it's, they know what's at stake here. You know, Ben on Wednesday kind of basically said it's not a, you know, we have to treat it as a must win. You don't want to use the phrase must win, but he's like, we have to treat every single game like it's an elimination game, because that's the reality of the hole that they dug themselves in. And it was interesting because you and I were both there when we heard from Joe Schobert after practice on Wednesday. And for him, a guy who hasn't been around this building for a very long time because of how new he is, to come out and basically say, you know, yeah, Mike Tomlin was getting loud. He was kind of motivating us a little bit more. I mean, maybe that is what they need, because, you know, you see guys like Cam Hayward, you expect Cam Hayward to be a very vocal leader. And right. We've seen him over the last handful of weeks in kind of talking about, you know, after the way they've lost, you know, after the Lions game, he was very frustrated, after the Chargers game. But when you saw him after the Bengals game, you could feel the frustration. Like, you know, we were in the room 6 feet away from him, and you could just see it was like seething out of him. So for him, you expect him to be that kind of vocal leader. But it is really interesting, just the dynamic of Mike Tomlin and, you know, what I'd be intrigued to honestly know what he is saying to these guys, because it's like, okay, something has to give right now.
No, I agree. It is a something has to give right now situation where, you know, the team, they're hearing the message. So what happens here? Do they hear the message? Do they respond? You know, because Mike Tomlin challenged them last week. He said, this is a huge game. And normally we've seen over the years, whenever Mike Tomlin challenges his team in that way, you know, they respond by coming out with either a big win or a huge effort. And, you know, we've never seen him kind of make that call. And then it doesn't result in something like that. So, you know, that's where I think the Steelers are right now. It's a turning point for saying, okay, you know, who steps up on this team? I was talking to Wes Euler and Josh Taylor early this week about who could be those guys, you know, because we all know Cam Hayward's a leader. We all know Ben's a leader. We all know that these are the elder statesmen of the Steelers, but they need new guys to step up, and not just as playmakers, because, hey, we know TJ Watt's a playmaker. We know Micah Fitzpatrick's a playmaker, but they need these guys to now be the vocal guys that set the tone in practice all week long and be like, hey, no, run this back. Let's go. We don't settle for this. The way that Ryan Clark and Chris Hoke talk about how they were Pittsburgh Steelers. So that's what I'm intrigued to see, like, who steps up in that regard.
And we heard as well, you know, talking about former Steelers and, you know, their criticism of the Steelers right now. Ben kind of gave us this really good insight into the fact that, you know, it wasn't even the music during practice, it was music in the locker room. But he always said, you know, he came in and it was because Mr. Rooney, you wanted to hear him. He would come into that locker room and you needed to turn that music down. They didn't even have it because you wanted to hear what he had to say. He was always so wise, always so full of, you know, just having really good conversation. And that was something that they did for a while. And Ben joked, you know, he's the grumpy elder statesman, yada, yada, yada type thing. But, you know, it kind of just alludes to show. And we heard Ben, you know, he was asked as well, you know, do you think the Steeler way is kind of fading a little bit? And he's like, well, I think some of the guys from the 70s Steelers look at us and are like, oh, it wasn't the way that, you know, we used to do it. And obviously times change, things evolve, things along those lines. But it is going to be interesting to kind of see here who these leaders, like you said, are going to be. I don't want to like suggest certain people, but I think like you can see that from Alex Highsmith. I really think he's going to be a guy this week that to keep an eye on, you know, we'll watch during practice and see kind of how he is. But I think he's going to be one of those leaders, and he might not be that, you know, super in your face. I don't think that's his leadership style, but with the role that he has, I think for him to kind of take that jump and say, hey, you know, we're going to do this. We're going to do this right. Mm-hmm. And I think guys really do respect him and listen to him. I think he could be one of those guys, because I think it does need to stem from the defense. As much as you see Ben Roethlisberger on offense, I'm sure Deontay's even doing it. But I think the defense is really where this needs to stem from.
I agree. It needs to be a new wave of stepping up in those ways and trying to be able to say, hey, this is the, you know, when Mike Tomlin says the standard is the standard, this is the standard. Yeah. And part of it, of course, we know they are shorthanded. You know, they have a lot of injuries that they're accounting for, but they need those leaders to sort of balance the situation out, challenge the new guys more like, hey, we need you to step up here, believe in yourself. You know, the Steelers, they used to have an abundance of that. And like you said, different leaders lead different ways. Alex Highsmith, he may not be a Joey Porter yell in your face, let's go, you know, type of leader. He may be more of a Hines Ward leader or a Troy Polamalu leader. It's like, hey, I'm just going to do exactly what you know I'm supposed to do and show you every day this is how you have to represent yourself. That's what Heath Miller was for so long. You never heard Heath Miller talk as a Steeler, but everyone knew that's the guy.
And that's exactly, there's so many different forms of leadership too. It doesn't have to just be the in your face type of thing. And for, you know, somebody like Mike Tomlin to maybe change up his leadership style heading into this week, it really does send a message to, hey, you know, this is do or die time. You didn't listen to my message last week, so this is how I'm going to change it. But you see different guys, and we've heard them talk about it too, just the way they are as leaders, how they can go about what they do, you know, how they set examples. You know, Cam Hayward, we know the type of leader he is, but again, there are some guys that might be a little bit more soft-spoken that will lead by example. I feel like we hear that a lot too, and sometimes as cliche as it is, it's like, all right, they're still going to go out there and show you how to do it, especially on a Wednesday when the team is doing padded practice when they don't normally do that.
Exactly. They want to change the tone. They want to say something different. And Micah Fitzpatrick talked about this. He's like, hey, maybe we need to do more reps in practice. Maybe we need to go we need to go through walkthroughs faster. And you know, part of it is, you know, essentially what Joe Schobert was talking about a few weeks ago when he was like, hey, you know, maybe we do need to up our intensities at practice because they haven't been tackling as much. But as Mike Tomlin, you know, pointed out, you only get so much of those padded practices. The NFL only allows you to do that so many times throughout the year. And you also want to make sure your guys are fresh for the game. And it's just that sometimes that freshness, it pays off. In fact, Pat Narduzzi talked about how when Pitt had a short week getting ready for North Carolina, a huge ACC game that helped them get ready for the ACC championship game that they play this Saturday, he talked about how Mike Tomlin gave him the advice, give your guys freshness. Don't pound them into the ground this week. And it worked out. Pitt played a great game. They won, and now they're in the driver's seat to win their first ACC championship. But sometimes it doesn't work out that way. Sometimes, hey, they respond in a different way, or sometimes the personnel doesn't work for that week. So it's a situation by situation, a case by case analysis when you look into what led to each result, what led to the different issues. So that's where I see the Steelers this week. They upped the intensity. They said, you know what? We don't got time to worry about if guys are fresh or not. We need to be able to hit. We need to be able to establish ourselves. And it'll be really interesting to see who does that in this upcoming game against the Ravens. We're going to break down that game even more in just a little bit here. But first, I got to tell you guys about Boost Mobile. Our new sponsor is Boost Mobile. You listen to podcasts for the power of knowledge. You switch to Boost Mobile for the power of saving money. Because with Boost, you get the power of a free 5G phone so you can listen to all the latest episodes. The power of 3 unlimited data lines for just $30 a month per line so your family can harness all that brain power too. And the power of one of America's largest 5G networks so you can do it at the speed of 5G all the time. With all that money you'll save and all the knowledge you'll gain, just how powerful will you become? Switch to Boost Mobile to find out. And you'll get a free Samsung Galaxy A32 5G when you switch to one of America's largest 5G networks. More power to save. Boost Mobile. Disclaimer, free phone limited to new customers and one per line. Additional restrictions apply. Offers and coverage is not available everywhere for all phones and networks. See BoostMobile.com for details. We're also brought to you by Built Bar. This holiday season, grab the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, or even better, like a good candy bar. Built Bar, filled with so many holiday goodness, rich and decadent flavors, covered in chocolate, but amazingly low in calories, sugar, net carbs, and fat, but high in protein. You get the best of both worlds, being delicious and healthy. With so many flavors, you have a hard time choosing between raspberry, mint brownie, cherry, or double chocolate, cookies and cream, peanut butter, brownie. All those flavors are available for Built Bar, which gives you that extra fuel you need to bust down those mall doors and battle all the holiday shoppers. Or if you're just standing in endless shopping lines, Built Bar can give you that extra something to keep you going. So throw one in your jacket or purse. You never know when you're going to need it, because it's the season of peace and love. Don't bring up your favorite Built Bar flavor at the family parties. People are so passionate about their favorite flavor, they'll fight you over it, and things could get out of hand. Make sure when you go to built.com to use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. Again, that's built.com to use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order of Built Bars. Now, as always, gentlemen, when we do back-to-back ad reads, we keep it rolling here. So we jump into the picks segment for week 13. It's going to be a live week. It's going to be an interesting one. Now, Jenna, last week, our winners here on runyourpool.com, by the way, if you're not in the pool, get on it. But if you are in the pool, we thank you, because you've been with Run Your Pool, one of our sponsors, all season long. Remember, the winner of this pool at the end of the season gets a free Steelers jersey of their choice from runyourpool.com. Last week, we had 5 winners, Jenna. We had Robert Fraser, Daylon Russo, P. Como, and Anthony. Actually, it's 4. I just can't count.
It's one of those days. It's a Friday.
Why do we need math on Fridays? But they had good math, because they were 10-5 on the week. That was a big week for them. But moving back into first place, sole possession is Dan the Man. He's been in hot pursuit with 107 wins on the year. Dan J right behind him, as along with Ethan Brown and Griffin Mang, they have 105 wins. So be sure to check this YouTube video. If you go into the description, there is a link to our Run Your Pool League. If you want to make picks with me and Jenna every week, you could do so there and get your shot at a Steelers jersey. Now, Jenna, let's dive right into the picks. As always, we skip through the Thursday night game because it's a Friday episode, but let's open with this 1 o'clock game. It's going to be interesting. NFC South showdown, the 8-3 Buccaneers at the 5-6 Falcons. The Falcons have had some surprising wins, but I'm sorry, this is Tom Brady versus Atlanta. This is going to be a nightmare. It might be 28-3 at some point and not in the Falcons' favor.
Oh no, if it's 28-3 in the Bucs' favor, I think they just have to like quit the game on the spot. It's like, all right, we're tapping out. It's done. We're over. Nope, not happening. The Falcons honestly have surprised me. I did not like, I was looking at the schedule last or earlier this week, and I was like, how are they 5-6? Mm-hmm. They're 5 wins, but the Bucks are just well more of a better team. I think that they win this one easy.
There's another game I think it might be an easy win. The 9-2 Cardinals supposedly will get back Kyler Murray this week. Mm-hmm. He posted the video of Thanos sitting in his throne, and everyone's like, does that mean he's back, or is he just a really big MCU fan? We don't know. Right, but they're playing the 4-7 Bears, who might get Justin Fields back, might not. Andy Dalton still been struggling. I'm sorry, whoever plays quarterback for this team is still going up against a good Cardinals defense. I'm going to take the Cardinals easily here.
Yeah, we've been seeing the Cardinals just find ways to win. They had a bye pretty recently. It was it last week or the week before? I don't know. I remember if they're coming off the bye or if they – no, they are coming off a bye.
They're coming off a bye.
You're giving Kyler Murray, who you would anticipate to be back, a chance to really rest up and get back to 100%. So, yeah, I would I'd be a little nervous if I were the Bears.
Absolutely. That's going to be a rough one. Now, this is a very interesting game because of the AFC implications. The 6-5 Chargers and the 7-4 Bengals, two teams that have just beaten the Steelers over the last 2 weeks. But the Chargers, they've been up and down, as have the Bengals. They're only a game back of the Bengals here, but the Bengals are at home coming off a blowout win. I'm sticking with the Bengals here, Jenna, because they're at home, but I would not be surprised if Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow get into a shootout and Herbert comes out on top.
This is going to be such a fun game to kind of see both of these quarterbacks go back and forth, because this is absolutely the future of the AFC between both of these guys. Mm-hmm. I can't pick against Cincinnati after the way they played. I think their defense also showed a lot of promise. And I think that you have Joe Mixon going against one of the worst rush defenses in the league. He had a lot of yards last week. Good luck this week.
Yeah, that's a factor there for sure. Him versus Austin Eckler, another aspect of this matchup. We got an NFC North play game here. The 5-6 Vikings play the 0-10-1 Lions. The Lions still without a win. The Vikings, they've pulled off some interesting upsets. They beat the Packers the other week. They have a chance to get back to 500 this week. I think they do. The Lions are just on the struggle bus.
Yeah, and it's so, you feel so bad for Detroit, because it's not like they're getting blown out every game. I feel like they are in every single game they play and lose by a field goal or just can't find a way to make it past overtime. That's basically what's happening with the Lions. So I'm going with the Vikings in this one. I think that they're stringing together a lot of success, especially their offense has looked pretty solid last week. Granted, is it going to propel them to, you know, a Super Bowl? I don't believe so, but I think that they are looking pretty solid. And I just think matchup wise, I like them a whole lot better than I like the Lions.
Yeah, I just say, yeah, matchup wise, they got a lot of weapons on offense. They still got pieces on defense to work with. That's going to be tough for the Lions to overcome. Another division matchup here, 6-6 Colts at the 2-9 Texans. Texans have had some upsets this year. They've looked decent at times, but the Colts have also been able to pull off some upsets this year. I think that the Colts come out on top on the road. They're playing a little bit better football. They almost got the Buccaneers last week. I think they finished the job this week.
And I think Jonathan Taylor, what else do you need to say about that offense and what they've been doing?
Player of the month, I believe, for the AFC.
Oh, yeah. He's been absolutely on fire. Well-deserved honors there. But I just think the Texans are going to have their hands full in trying to stop him.
Yeah, same here. A good run game fixes a lot of problems on a troubled team. The 4-7 Giants at the 5-7 Dolphins. Your New York Football Giants. You've picked them in some upsets this year that they've pulled off. You called out that they take down the Raiders. Is this another week they get a dub, because they're going to Miami? I'm going with the Dolphins.
Yeah, the Dolphins have been playing well. I think the Dolphins, I was reading, have had the first undefeated November in God knows how long. It's been a while. I just saw the first part of that stat, so like I'm doing some research there. But they've played really well, basically. That's what I'm trying to say. The Dolphins have played really well in the month of November. I think they carried over, especially with the way that their defense has been playing.
Right.
Question marks of who is going to be a quarterback for the Giants on Sunday. One of my best friends, Meg, is going to be at the game, and she says, doesn't really matter to me because I'm going to be drinking a beer. So I said, I like your mentality there. I think that's a great decision. The Dolphins, just right now, their defense seems to be playing better than the Giants' offense can handle. So I think Miami.
Hey, that's been me every time I go to PNC Park for the last 5 years. So I empathize. I sympathize. I've been there. That's tough. Now the battle of the green and white teams, the 5-7 Eagles against the 3-8 Jets. The Eagles dropped a tough one last week. They needed to be able to beat the Giants. The Giants took them and they were able to win. But I think they get back on track this week. Jalen Hurts will be up against a lesser defense. The Jets at 3-8. They're on the struggle bus, and Zach Wilson's back. You know, if this was Mike White, if this was anybody else, I actually think the Jets might take him. But Zach Wilson has been a turnover machine. I think that allows the Eagles to get busy.
How can you, as a Jets player as a Jets fan have something worse than the butt fumble. Because what Zach Wilson had last week with that ladder. What was that? What on earth was that?
Yeah.
It was not good. So I do not think the Jets rebound from that is what I'm saying. I think that just keeps them in a perpetual state of yuck. So I'm going with the Eagles. I think that they should have beat the Giants. They had all reason to beat the Giants. And that's something, you know, you hate losing to a division opponent, especially when it's the Giants. So I think this is a week where Jalen Hurts comes out and just kind of lights things up, especially against the Jets defense.
Now, here's a game that I think a lot of people will pick in their survivor pools if you're still alive. The 7-4 Rams host the 2-9 Jaguars. Rams had a tough loss last week, but this is their chance. They were playing the Packers then. This is their chance to beat up on Trevor Lawrence and a Jaguars team that has just had a hard season.
Yeah, and this is a way for them to kind of say, hey, we are still relevant here, because I think everybody anticipated, oh, Von Miller's coming. He's going to be so fantastic. Oh, OBJ, you know, this is going to be the super team. And the last couple of weeks, they haven't entirely looked like that super team. So I think this is a way for them to kind of say, oh, no, we're still in the conversation. Don't you worry. We are still here against a really, really, really not great Jags team.
No, I agree with that assessment. This is their chance to step back. Now, here's two teams that seem to be heading in different directions. The Washington football team struggled early on, but I believe they're on a 3 or 4 game win streak now. Yeah. Meanwhile, the Raiders were at one point the top team in the AFC. They're now 6-5, falling backwards. I think the trends keep going in that direction. Washington, even without Chase Young, they're getting it. They're getting answers. My boy Taylor Heinicke out here just pounding the pavement, getting it done every week. He's taking his lunch pail to work, Jenna. He's been a bad man with Terry McLaurin, and they're getting protection out of the running back position. I like those things, being able to overcome a Raiders team that, unfortunately, they've just been derailed by just bad news after bad news after bad news.
You are the founding member of the Taylor Heinicke fan club.
That's me.
Wear it on your sleeve. We love it. We love it. Yeah, no, I got to go with you on that one. I think that they looked really, really, really good on Monday night. And granted, it was against a struggling Seattle team, but you look really good. You get your run game involved. Taylor Heinicke has another really great performance. I mean, it stinks because you love the story of Taylor Heinicke, of Ron Rivera. Like, and as a Giants fan, I'm like, well, I can't like this story because it's the Washington football team. So, but that is not deterring my pick here. Yeah, I'm going with Washington. I think that they just are continuing to play really well, and I just don't see the Raiders trending in a good direction. Yes, the win over the Cowboys was a good one on Thanksgiving, but I just don't see them sustaining that.
Years ago, this would have been the matchup to watch. The 6-5 49ers take on the 3-8 Seahawks. Both of the Niners are still hanging around, but the Seahawks look to have really bottomed out. Also, we just found out that Robert Spillane is put on the COVID list for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So breaking news that as that happens. So the Steelers putting him on COVID list means he's not going to be available definitely for Sunday's game. He was injured anyways. He wasn't expected to play. So just rough situation for him. We'll see if that spreads to anyone else. The Steelers have had Ben Roethlisberger, Minkah Fitzpatrick, and TJ Watt all on the COVID list recently, as well as Ray-Ray McCloud, who came off of it this week. Joe Hegg, of course, also went on it last week. So lots of stuff there to keep monitoring moving forward. Back to the NFC West matchup here. The Seahawks, they really look like everyone says how the Steelers are done at 5-5-1. That's how I feel about the Seahawks. There's too many question marks on the team right now. Russell Wilson pain is hurt up. And the thing is, like, the Steelers, they have young pieces on defense to build around. I'm not sure if those pieces exist for the Seahawks right now. And I think this is a Niners team that could come in, run the ball on them, and get an easy win and not put pressure on their quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think that just San Fran seems like the better team right now. Seattle's slumping a little bit. Again, this would have been an unbelievable matchup a handful of years ago, but right now, just with both of these teams, Trent, the way both of these teams kind of are, Seattle just, you feel for us. You really kind of feel for that team, but I think San Fran is in a much better spot right now.
Absolutely. Now, an AFC West showdown on Sunday Night Football, 6-5 Broncos at 7-4 Chiefs. The Chiefs, they're playing more consistently. I'm a ride with that. I think their defense can get the job done a little bit better at this part of the year. Back Patrick Mahomes is starting to feel it. Even if this becomes a low scoring affair, I see them coming out on top.
Yeah, this will be a fun matchup, no doubt about it, for Sunday Night Football. But I just think the Chiefs are trending, and I feel like we keep using that word, but like the Chiefs have been like, all right, you counted us out. Oh, just kidding. Look where we are. We're back. We're fully back. I think that's something that they're going to continue to build on. Obviously, when you have a guy like Patrick Mahomes doing what he's been doing, the Broncos defense is good. I think this might be more of an offensive shootout type game, but in those types of games, I'm picking Patrick Mahomes any day.
Absolutely. Monday Night Football here, before we go back to Steelers-Ravens, Monday Night Football, this to me is the game of the week. This is two teams that, yeah, you know, the Bills, this was supposed to be their year to not just run the AFC East, but to run the AFC. And they're sitting at 7-4. The Patriots are at 8-4. The Patriots have stormed back. They're ready to say, this is still our division. You only had it for a year. If I'm the Bills, this is my chance to say, we establish ourselves here and now. But here's the problem, Dana. I think that the Patriots are playing more complete football at this point in time. Mac Jones isn't asked to do a lot. The defense is really performing at a high level. They're running the ball. They're playing Belichickian football. They're winning with ways without the big names all the time. And I think that's going to put a stress on the Bills. Dawson Knox being back is huge. But I think that these teams will split this series. But I think New England, they've been on a wave right now. I'm going to pick them going into Buffalo and getting the win.
And New England has looked so good on the road, too. That's like the really tough part about this. I think with the Bills, losing Trey White is a huge blow to that defense with the ACL injury, I believe, the season-ending injury, which is just, you hate to see that for any player, but a guy like Trey, especially just the type of guy and the type of player he is and what he means to that defense. So, Pitt fans, it's Dane Jackson time, I will say that. I know a lot of Bills fans already love what he brings, but he's going to be asked to do a lot, especially against that Patriots offense. I think this is going to come down to which defense can perform better, but I think for the Bills, they need to win this game in order to make a statement and say, we are not falling back into our old ways of the, you know, and granted, obviously it's a totally different team, but we're not letting you Patriots run this division again. We are here. We are, you know, showing exactly who we are. I'm going with the Bills only because I like Josh Allen over Mac Jones, although Mac Jones has been playing well. But it's going to be, can Josh Allen take care of business against a really good Patriots defense? He was able to do it last week against really banged up Saints team. Can he do it against right now arguably one of the best defenses in the NFL?
That's going to be a big question. There's our split of the week is Bills, Patriots. The only one this week. That's going to be crazy. So I will not say go Pats, though. I cannot bring myself to do that. Right. Yeah, exactly. That's the pain that you feel when you hear that. So we're going to get back to Steelers, Ravens in just a bit here. But first, I got to tell you guys about BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered all season long with more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football season continues in their march to the playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to their new updated desktop and mobile website to sign up today, and you'll receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just be sure to use that promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On, all capital letters, all one word, and you'll receive your 50% welcome bonus when you sign up at betonline.ag. From basketball to football to NHL to boxing to UFC, right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the different amazing offers available for the 2021 season at betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, and BetOnline, where the game starts. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Jenna Harner of Channel 11 WPXI. We are keeping it rolling here. It's time to talk about this Steelers-Ravens game. Now, the Steelers and the Ravens, different parts this year. The Ravens, they're 8-3. They found ways to win by the slimmest of margins all season long in the oddest of ways, but that counts for wins. This is what we talk about. You don't apologize for your wins when you get to December when you're fighting for playoff position, and they're not apologizing at all. This is the Ravens team that's found ways to win, but they've struggled, especially of late, on the offensive side of the football, where the Steelers have struggled for most of the season. So now it's going to be a question is there an offense in this game that can turn up? Jenna, as always, I want to ask you, what's your turning point in this game? What's your big matchup that you think determines the factor of who's going to come out on top here?
I know this one seems a little obvious, so I hate to do the completely obvious one, but it's going to be the Steelers defense limiting Lamar Jackson, because we all know you can't stop him entirely. That's just not what you can do. But I think if they limit him as much as possible, this is an entirely different game. Can you force him to make turnovers? He's, what, 4 turnovers against the Browns on Sunday Night Football? Mm-hmm. He's been turning the ball over a lot lately, and this offense has not been putting up a lot of points. In their last 3 games, the Ravens offense is averaging 12 points a game. 12.
Jeez,
That's unexpected. Absolutely. Yeah. So as the Steelers, we hear them talk about the physicality, the intensity of this rivalry. Mike Tomlin said on Tuesday, he was asked, you know, is your team up for the challenge, the physical challenge this game brings? And he goes, we'll see on Sunday. We'll see. And that's going to be the biggest thing is, can the Steelers defense win those battles in the trenches that they did not win last week against the Bengals? And can they get to Lamar Jackson? Can they force him to get a little bit uncomfortable? Can, obviously, you know his scrambling ability, you know the just versatile, athletic type of quarterback that he is, but can you limit him as much as possible? And then this is an entirely different game, because if you can, as the Steelers defense, show who you are, and, you know, granted, yes, there are some injuries coming in, but can they show to their identity as much as possible? Then this is going to be another close game that one of these two teams is going to have to fight for the last inch or so in order to come out on top. But if you can't limit Lamar Jackson, you let him have a field day, this could get ugly really quickly.
I agree. Limiting Lamar Jackson is key number one, key number two, key number three. You got to make sure that he's not hurting you with his legs. Don't let him hurt you with his arm. You keep him in the pocket. You make him struggle, and you hit him as much as you can. And that's been, you know, the Steelers, they let Justin Herbert run all over them. They let Joe Burrow run for a touchdown. They cannot allow to do that. And I asked Mike Tomlin that this week, and he said, we know Lamar Jackson's a lot better than those guys. They're keying in on that. And the last time we heard them key in on stopping something like that was the Browns game, when they talked about, hey, you know, we know Nick Chubb's coming, we got to shut him down, and they shut him down. So I still look at this as a game where the Steelers defense can respond appropriately to give them a shot here. But to me, I look at how this offense might be able to get some points in this game, because as much as the defense has to play well, this offense has to capitalize when it has opportunities. If they get a turnover, they got to turn it into points. They haven't done that consistently this year. The last week, we saw just an abysmal performance. They only put up 10 points, and really the only touchdown came in garbage time. They need to establish themselves a lot better. They need to come out, hit their playmakers. One thing that I think that might be getting overlooked here is the Ravens defense. As much as the Steelers are hurt up, so are the Ravens. They're literally ranked as the worst passing defense in the NFL right now. Now, that doesn't mean that Ben Roethlisberger is about to rip off a 500-yard passing game, but it may mean, hey, you're going to get some matchups with Chase Claypool and Deontay Johnson and Pat Freiermuth and Najee Harris that you're going to really like, and these guys might get chances to make plays. Ben, this got to be the game that you turn it on. We've seen him do it against the Ravens before. He's thrown 6 touchdowns against them. He's beaten them several times throughout his career in big moments. This is a really big moment for what might be his final season. This could be the last time he plays Baltimore in Heinz Field. He has to show up. He has to take advantage of this. To me, these are the two biggest factors. Your factor of stopping Lamar Jackson and getting this pass game going, because the Ravens are going to come out. Calais Campbell, Brandon Williams, that's going to be a big problem for the Steelers' offensive line to get the run game going. Make it easier by backing off Patrick Queen and those linebackers and safeties from the run game by hitting some of those passes and putting the Ravens into a guessing game.
Yeah, you can't, they can't, obviously we've seen this team struggle with the run, but you can't allow them to dictate the way that you play. Yeah. We heard that from Ben on Wednesday. We have to start quicker. We have to kind of be able to stay on schedule so that they can have these options in both the run game and the pass game, which we haven't entirely seen. We did not see that last week, but you need to see that from this team in order to just stay competitive in this game.
Absolutely. They got to find ways to stay competitive. They got to find ways to fight their way into this. Now, Jenna, it's prediction time. Who you got? What's your final score prediction?
Well, this is going to be a close game just because, again, Ravens like playing close games this season. Of their 8 wins, only 2 of them have not been one possession games. So 6 of those 8 wins have been one possession games. They are finding ways to win. I think, unfortunately, Steelers fans might not like to hear this. I apologize for saying this. I think they're going to find a way to win. I did say from the beginning of the season, though, Steelers and Ravens will split. But I think just after the way that they played against Cincinnati, I think it's still going to, even if they have a really good performance, I think the Ravens are just a little bit better of a team right now, especially when you're, you know, we don't know entirely about T.J. Watt. lot with Robert Spillane just going on the COVID list. I think there's too many question marks. So I'm going 24-17 Baltimore on top. But again, I would not be surprised if the Steelers offense decides, hey, we have a lot of options. We like these matchups in the secondary. We're going to find Chase Claypool. We're going to find Deontay Johnson. They're going to make some plays, and we might have something reminiscent of the fourth quarter against the Chargers. They need to show that that wasn't a fluke, but I think right now my gut tells me Ravens win this one 24-17. It'll be close, but I think that they've found ways to win this season. They're going to continue to do so.
They've found ways to eke wins out even when they have been playing well. I mean, they've scored 16 points in back-to-back games. That goes to show you how they've been able to pull things out. This is a game, like you said, the Steelers, they're up against it too. If TJ Watt plays in this game, that might change my tone a bit.
Yeah.
But we actually don't know at the time of recording this if TJ Watt will come off the COVID list. Mike Tomlin didn't know it when he asked him earlier this week. So it's going to be a question mark. If you see him get activated Saturday, change my prediction. I think the Steelers might feed off that energy and get a W. But like Jenna said, Robert Spillane going out means that they're going to have an even more limited rotation at inside linebacker. They're trying to find new alignments on the defensive line. This is just a rough week to do all of that and to be facing Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, who, again, keep finding ways to win. I also think that their pair of defensive tackles in Calais Campbell and Brandon Williams are just going to be a very big problem for this Steelers offensive line that's really working with a fourth-string left guard right now. That's going to be a lot to ask of them. So I'm going to pick Ravens 23-20. I do think it's close down to the wire, but I think it's going to be a Justin Tucker field goal at the end that breaks Steelers fans' hearts. But we will see. It's going to be a close matchup. We both agree on that. Jenna, thanks so much, as always, for doing the Friday episode here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. You're always a joy to have on this show. Let people get to find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
Well, thank you, as always, for having me. It's always my favorite part about Fridays, other than Skylights. But now that Skylights is done, may it rest in the most peace. We have this every Friday. You can find me on Twitter at JennaHarner11, Instagram Jenna_Harner, and WPXI doing a bunch of stuff. Chris and I constantly doing a ton of stuff for Channel 11, so tune in whenever you can.
It's awesome there. We love Channel 11. I love being on Channel 11 with Jenna. She makes these shows a lot more fun when she's the partner I'm riding with. Thanks so much for everyone for tuning in to Locked On Steelers. Remember, you can check us out on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. Like this video on YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Also, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us out, and you get a shout out at the end of the show. Thanks again for everyone for listening and watching. Be back in your ears and on your screen soon. I'm headed to Charlotte for the ACC Championship game, so I will not be in Heinz Field. Jenna will be for the Steelers game, but I will not be in Heinz Field. I'll be in Charlotte in my hotel room recording while I watch from television with all of you. So do join me on Twitter at Carter Critiques. I'll be giving my critiques of the game live as I always do. So thanks again for Jenna for joining us. We'll be checking y'all out Sunday night, giving you a recap of Steelers Ravens.